for the past couple of weeks, actually since the beginning of this month, we've been looking at the church. We've looked at what the church is, what the church does, what our focus should be, the message of the church, the attitude of every Christian, every believer that is part of the church. So we're going to carry on today, just look at the church and worship. And I believe that, you know, as we go through the series about the church, it will give us a really good understanding of what the church is all about. And I mentioned that one thing that Apostle mentions to us quite a lot, particularly when we go for our ministers' meetings and training, he says, look, the beginning of anything as a minister was the beginning of everything for a Christian or a believer is to really understand what the church is about, what the church is, how the church came about. Because as we understand that, the church is God's family and some other things, it gives us a proper perspective. That means when things happen along the way, because of that perspective and because of that understanding that we have, we will not become dissociated from the church. We will not get sidetracked because we know that, look, you know, I have an understanding of what the church is about. Today we're going to look at something still in this series. We're going to look at the church and worship. And this is quite an interesting one because I think a lot of us here are quite musical. And even if you're not musical, I'll use that word musical for now. Even if you're not musical, one thing that a lot of people enjoy about church meetings is the music. In fact, as a local church, I can almost say that if one has a really good booming, you know, choir that is like those American people that can do runs and stuff like that, you know, people absolutely love it. I love music as well. And we're looking at worship today. And one of the things we'll be looking at are, what is worship? We'll look at what worship is not. We'll look at worshiping God. We'll look at how worship is expressed. And we'll look at what I've called, and this one's a personal one, local church worship ethics. I just chucked that in there. And I'll just go through that as well. Now, if I asked us, what is worship? What would we say? What would we say? That's a rhetorical question. You know, for me, for a long time, worship was, praise and worship. To me, for a long time, praise and worship, and someone is smiling here. I won't look at him, choir director. For a long time, if you ask me what is praise and worship, I'll tell you, look, praise is the fast song. You know, that's like praising. They're like, woo, that's praise. Worship is when you cool it down and go, oh, Lord, you know, calm. You know, you pull down the temple. Then that's worship. You know what I mean? So for me, for a long time, that was really the distinction. And he was like singing and all that, you know, that for me. So when he's like, you mellowed it down, you've done those fast songs, you know, you all get up, then you calm down, you know, then you're worshiping. And that's what I used to think for a really long time. But we want to look at worship from the context of what God sees as proper worship. And again, what this will help us to do is it will help us to really connect with God in worship, because we're looking at it not just from the everyday opinions that we might have, but we want to look at it from a biblical perspective so that as we understand that, it will help us to connect to God more in worship. All right, so what is worship? I dug out some dictionary meanings of worship and praise. This is not from the Bible, just, you know, general Google dictionary.com meanings. So what is worship? So I got some definitions here. It says, to show reverence and adoration for a deity. I'll just say to show reverence and adoration. And I said, okay, no problem, to show reverence and adoration. What is reverence? What is reverence? Now, again, breaking that down, it says here, reverence is deep respect for someone or something. So we see here from the dictionary definition here that worship is showing reverence. And if I, you know, replace it with the definition of reverence, it says showing deep respect and adoration for someone. Showing deep respect and adoration for someone. Now, praise, what does the dictionary define praise as? It says, praise is expressing respect and gratitude. Expressing respect and gratitude. Expressing respect and gratitude. So those are the dictionary meanings that we've seen here that I kind of dug out from here. So we see that when we talk about worship, worship isn't necessarily always Godward. It might not be attributed to God. Worship could be that you show deep respect and adoration for someone. Deep respect and adoration for someone. So that means if we look at the sense of worship here, someone could actually be worshiping a pop star musician. It's like when they see them singing, they show such deep respect and an adoration for someone. And it's like that person becomes, or should I say that thing, becomes an object of worship to them. In the book of one of the Gospels, I think Luke chapter 4, we don't have to turn there, Satan appeared to Jesus. And one of the things he told Jesus was that, look, you know what, paraphrasing now, all these things I'll give you, just bow down and worship me. He says, look, he showed him the glory of those. He says, all these things I'll give you, just bow down and worship me. Do you understand? So we begin to see here that worship, Satan wants worship as well. Things around us want worship from us. They want, everything around you wants you to give it a certain sense of reverence, deep respect, but it doesn't end there, and adoration. Do you understand? So the next thing I want to say is what worship is not. So bearing all these things in mind, the next thing I want to say is worship is not a slow or fast song. All right? In this sense. I'll take it a step further. Worship is not music. It's not music. Now, I'm going to make a good distinction about that as well, because in our day now, and I absolutely love it, when we say, when we think about worship in the contemporary Christianity now, and when I say contemporary, I mean like our days, my mind goes to like all these like really popular worship leaders. And you know, you can think of CFT Choir, you know, in London. You can think of CFT Bristol, you know, here, you know. Like, who's that guy on the guitar? No, I'm just joking. Or, so you're thinking of like, you know, when you think about let's go and really worship, we're having a worship service. The first thing that might come to my mind is we're going to where there'll be a lot of people, you know, guitars blazing, drums and all that, and we're really having, you know, that's fine. But really, music is not worship. I was having a conversation. I don't even remember who I was having that conversation with. And I said that, look, just, you know, talking about the fact that music is not worship. Do you know that, right? You can, if you flip on God Channel, right? And I'm not meaning this in a derogatory way. That you can be flipping through some of those channels. If you turn down the volume and you're not hearing what they're saying, you can't hear the songs they're playing, and you see what's going on there in terms of like the singing and all that, do you know you could say, okay, this is a rock concert. Now if you lift up the volume, you see that, okay, this is actually not a rock concert. They're actually, you know. So what I'm just saying is that worship is not music, neither is it a musical style. All right, it is neither of those. We'll come to how the part that music plays in worship. The other thing as well is that worship is not dancing in itself. You know, because someone might say, oh, I'm going to dance before the Lord. Fine, no problem, as long as it's in context. But what I'm saying is that in itself, music is not worship. In itself, dancing is not worship. Do you understand? So just to underline, put that out there. So we've looked at what worship is from a dictionary meaning. We've also looked at worship from, we've looked at what worship is not, secondly. Now, we want to look at worship in the context of God. Worshipping God. What does God see as worship? What's the start of it? And let's turn to the book of John chapter 4, verse 24. John chapter 4, verse 24. It says, God is spirit, and his worshippers must worship in spirit and in truth. To be honest with us here, I haven't really grasped the entirety of this thing, this little verse we're seeing here. I'm just understanding it day by day, but you know, I just keep asking myself, what do you mean, Lord? What does this really mean? What does it mean? Jesus is saying here that, look, God is spirit and his worshippers must worship in spirit and in truth. So what does that really mean? I don't know the full context here, but I'll explain what I know about this so far. It begins to tell us something about worship. So if I use that dictionary meaning that I got before we move into like a more biblically based one, we can say worship is deep respect and adoration of God. If I look at it from a dictionary meaning, focusing it at God. Worship, I can say, if I look just, you know, describe it from a dictionary meaning, but focusing it on God, I'll say worship is a deep respect and adoration for God. All right? That's the starting point. But it doesn't just end there, because you can have deep admiration. You can, from the sentence that I've just said now, you can remove God there, right? And put any other thing. Do you understand? You can say worship is, so if I said worship is deep admiration, deep reverence and adoration, dash, you can put anything there. You can put God there. You can put pop star there. You can put something else there. But God now goes on and he qualifies it. He says, look, the worship that is for me is different from the worship that you give to any other thing. That worship must be in spirit and in truth. So that's what distinguishes worship from God, the worship of God. Now, why should it be in spirit? And why should it be in truth? Now, this is what I just want to understand. I want to explain here. Philippians chapter 3, verse 10. So hold this in your mind. In spirit and in truth. Philippians chapter 3, verse 10. It says, I want to know Christ and the power of his resurrection, the fellowship of sharing in his sufferings, becoming like him in death. That's not the part. The part I want us to focus on there is, I want to know Christ. Now, we're looking at John chapter 4 now. It says, we must worship God in spirit and in truth. So hold those two words in our hearts. So I want to put it to us that to be able to truly worship God, in this sense, I'll start with truth. It must be in truth. The Bible says in John chapter, it will come back to me now, I think 14:6, where Jesus says that I am the way, the truth, and the life. Do you understand? It says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. So the first thing we want to see is that worship, to really be able to worship God properly, to have a foundational understanding of how we worship God, is in Christ first. In Christ, in the truth of Christ, in the reality of Christ. the truth. Now, the other thing as well is this. To be able to worship God properly, we, the more understanding of the truth of God we know, the better we're able to view God and give him deep respect and adoration. Now, truth. So I've said in Christ, the truth. But let's look at truth from the biblical context. The truth about God, the truth about what God has done for you and I, will cause us, as we gain a deeper understanding, to be able to worship God with deep respect and adoration. It will help us to be able to praise God, to show gratitude to him. So that's where it starts first. And I'll flip back. We'll come back to that. So we're saying that worshiping in truth and in spirit, truth, Christ's words, as Christ is the truth, and truth, an understanding of the truth of God about us, about Christ. Do you understand what I mean? Now, what do I mean by that? Let's go to the book of Revelation chapter 20 and verse 15 to 20. This is a truth that I want us to see. And I'll show you how truth can cause you and I to really honor God, so that when we think about God and what he has done, we can give him the deep respect and adoration we have based on truth, not just based on an emotion. Worship will provoke, should I say, truth will provoke emotion from us. But worship is not emotionally based, so to speak. I'm going to read this. Revelations chapter, okay, let's start from verse 11. No, verse 12. Revelations 12 to whatever. Now, this is a truth I want to highlight here. It says, I saw the dead, great and small, standing before the throne, and the books were opened. Another book was opened, which is the book of life. The dead were judged according to what they had done, as recorded in the books. Next. The sea gave up the dead that were in it. Death and Hades gave up the dead that were in them. And each person was judged according to what he had done. It says, death and Hades were thrown into the lake of fire. The lake of fire is the second death. 15. If anyone's name was not found written in the book of life, he was thrown into the lake of fire. That's one truth. Let's turn to John 3:16. John 3:16. It says, for God so loved the world that he gave his own one and only Son, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish, but have everlasting and have eternal life. Now, there was a time I was reading this Revelation chapter that we've just read, 20. And do you know what occurred to me? A truth struck me there. And that truth was that there was a time in my life I remember so vividly. I was 13 years old, and it was in a country in West Africa. I was going to the airport. So the driver was taking me to the airport early in the morning, and suddenly someone ran across the road, and it was like slow motion. The driver that or the car was in, the guy, you know, swerved. It was raining, and the car began to skid. It began to skid. And I was looking like this. I was like, wow, this is like slow motion. And the next thing I saw was stars. I was out. We had had an accident. Then I came back. And I remember that people gathered around, and they're saying, oh, what happened? In a foreign language. What happened? And I was like, I'm going to the airport. Can you just put me back in the car? I'm going to the airport. They said, this one is not going to any airport too. I was like, what's happening? Then they rushed us to the hospital, and I saw myself, my eye was like this, caught. Now, when I think about that, and I think that God, at that time I was not born again, I will have had the end of Revelation chapter 20. But God, you saved me. You allowed me to get to the point where I became saved, and I don't have to go to hell. I was telling someone, a Muslim guy I was talking to at Cabot Circus, and he said, for them, they will receive punishment and for a period, then they will go to heaven. I said, okay, let's assume that you want to receive that punishment. Why should you? Someone is offering you a free gift, no punishment involved. And I said, okay, in my house, because I can't invite you to my house now, come to my house. I have a gas cooker, fire. Now, light that gas cooker and just put your hand, in fact, over the gas cooker, 30 seconds, and tell me how that fire seems. And you want to go into the lake of fire with brimstone. 2 seconds will be enough. Now, think about eternity. I remember I was baking. What was I baking the other day? I was making this fancy chicken thing in the oven at home. You're grinning. And I was bringing out the stuff, and my hand just touched the oven thing. I'm like, oh! Ah! Fire. So what am I saying here? Worship based on the knowledge of truth of what God has done and what God is doing for you evokes worship. Knowledge of that. So when you think about what God has done for you, you understand what Christ has done. I understand what Christ has done. Something in you will say, God Almighty, thank you. So this one is not whether, you know, you got, you know, you've been praying for something and it hasn't, you know, that's fine. But having a knowledge that God, forget about everything. The fact that, I don't have to face eternity in hell is enough to provoke that worship. So when we worship God, it's like, God Almighty, you know, you deserve all the praise. I who was going, 20 miles to 30 miles per hour to hell, you, not because of me, but because of your love, moved me in another direction. And I saw salvation. Worship in spirit and in truth. Do you understand? So when we are worshiping God, and I'll come to how we express worship, we're doing it from a place of truth. The more truth, the more of God that we know, I'm not talking about the more of the Bible verses that we know here. No. The more of God that we know, the more our worship is evoked, I am telling you. And worship is emotional as well. So it's not like, okay, God, you're saving me. I know you're going to save me from hell. And you're stoic. No emotions whatsoever. No, well, it's not necessary. And it's just like, how can? Can you imagine if someone saved you? Like you fell off a cliff. And they, as you were falling, they just snatched you and just grabbed you. How would you respond? Would you just tell that person, hey, jolly chap, thank you for just snatching me off the cliff. Bye, I'll see you later. No, you'd be like, oh my goodness. Thank you. Can I get you? You know what I mean? So again, worship evokes emotions because you know that, man, I was heading for disaster. All right. We're talking about worship here. Worship in spirit and in truth. Now, worshiping in spirit. God is a spirit. Now, we begin to see as well, if we turn to Matthew chapter 15, verse 8. Matthew chapter 15, verse 8. Matthew chapter 15, verse 8. Worship in spirit. The other thing about worship that pertains to God is that it's based on truth. The more truth we have about God, the more and the deeper our worship. But again, worship in spirit is worship that comes from the heart. It is worship that comes from the heart. Jesus said something here. He says, these people honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. So what that means is that it's not enough. It's not externally determined, your level or your sense of worship. So someone can be, emotional and all that, which is great. But what they're thinking is in their minds, when I get to that my house, I'm going to slap that guy that told me that he's not going to give me crisps and stuff. Externally, they're, worshiping, but in their heart. So worship in spirit starts from the heart. Jesus himself said, some people honor me with their lips. Oh, praise the Lord. But inside, they don't even like Jesus at all. Do you know what I mean? Or, you have to excuse me here. Or it's like, oh, Lord has called me to be a worship artist. And I'm going to take the name of the Lord in song to the nations. But really, in their heart, what's really happening there is, man, I'm going to be famous. I'll get cash. Yeah. I'll get, you know, contributions from all these church people, honorarium, proper one. And they're gifted. And it's like, oh, you know, and we're hailing them. Oh, this person is a nice worship leader. But in God's eye, because he looks at the heart, he says, Mister, your lips honor me, but your heart is far. So we begin to see something here about worship, right? Let's look at 1 Samuel chapter 16, verse 7. 1 Samuel chapter 16, verse 7. He says, but the Lord said to Samuel, he says, do not consider his appearance or his height, for I have rejected him. He says, the Lord does not look at things man looks at. He says, man looks at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart. So you begin to see that this is quite an interesting matter. Because we know that in spirit, worshiping in spirit, although it can reflect outwardly in how we worship, but the truth of the matter is this. God is not first of all interested in how you look. God is not interested first of all in how you play your guitar or how you do runs on your keyboard. That's fantastic. That's not what he's looking at first. I mean, there's some people that their voices are so cranky. I'm not going to mention, he's not here anyway. And when they begin to, particularly, I mean, and when they begin to sing and they begin to worship God with their croaky voice, off key, the presence of God is so strong because it's from their heart. Do you understand what I mean? So, it's not about, so if you have someone who's gifted, keyboard, singing and all that thing, and their heart is far from God, well, they're wasting their time, to put it bluntly. They might as well just go and sing for themselves. I didn't say, you know, that's what the Bible says here. Matthew chapter 22, verse 37. Now, what I want to highlight here is so that we have a proper perspective of worship. 22 and 37. It says here, Jesus replied, he says, love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, and all your mind. All right? So, we begin to see here that worshiping God, Bible says in spirit and in truth, the more about God we know, the more we know about God and what he has done for us, the more we're able to worship him. Do you understand? The more we're able to worship him. And God looks at our heart to start with, our motives for worship. Now, I'll look at a number of things. So I've said worship, what is worship? We've looked at that. We've said worship is not music. We also said worship is in spirit and in truth. And we've looked at what that means. How do we express worship? How do we express worship? Well, Hebrews chapter 13, verse 15. Now, we can express worship through singing. All right? We can express worship through singing, through song. So that's where the musical part comes in. So the actual song in itself, also, the actual act of singing is not worship, but we can express worship through singing. Hebrews 13, 15 says, through Jesus, therefore, let us continually offer to God a sacrifice of praise, the fruit of our lips that confess his name. He says, through Christ, we can express our worship in music. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 8. We can express our worship physically as well. From our hearts, as we look at 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 8. It says, I want men everywhere to lift up holy hands in prayer without anger or disputing. Well, you can lift up your hands in prayer. You can lift up your hands in worship as well. And it's like, you know, God expressing what's in your heart by lifting up your hands. Do you understand? Now, the other thing as well that we can do, which God even sees to be a high form of worship, Romans chapter 12, verse 1. Romans chapter 12, verse 1. It says, therefore, I urge you, brothers, in view of God's mercy, truth, offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship. And it's like, hang on, I can't see guitar there. Hang on, I can't see any instrumentation there. What does this mean? What is this worship thing here? Offering myself? Yes. I was ready to get up on the Bible. So this is saying that we can show God deep respect and adoration through Christ. As we say, okay, look, my body, maybe before I used to carry my body to anywhere, you know, and do whatever I wanted with it. Before I was a Christian or whatever, live with someone before getting married to them, do all sorts of things to myself, go wherever I wanted, however I wanted. But now, as a Christian, as a believer, I'm going to offer myself as a sacrifice. I will not do those things again. Now, I'm not going to do those things again because I'm afraid that God is going to knock my head. No, I'm not going to do those things because I understand that God lives in me. I understand that God has paid an awesome price for me. And God is saying I should offer my body. Because I want to honor God, I have deep respect for him, and I want to show him my appreciation, my understanding that God, what is my body? If not for you, I'll have gone to hell. What's that? You know, what does that mean? It's just like someone telling you that, you know, they saved your life from the cliff, and they say, please, can you give me your pen? And you're like, my pen? I'll give you my whole house if you want. You know, what's my pen to me? Why would they do that? Because they understand the gravity of what the person has done. So to them, it's not a big deal. It's not these people in church, are you saying I shouldn't go to nightclub and drink all day and all night? I mean, God is not law now. Yes, God is not law. Really, he's not. God wants your heart and my heart. You see, one thing, if you guys notice very well, here, I don't think, at least I try my best not to put any laws on us. I don't say, oh, if you don't come late, although you shouldn't come late anyway. Sorry, I had to put that on. Or, I didn't see you in church on this thing. Do you know? I don't do that. Because, do you know why? Let me tell you why I don't do that. I don't do that because if I have to make someone to come to church by threat, or subtle threat, and they say, oh, this pastor. Now, it's different from, okay, pastor encouraging you, saying, oh, you know, come, and you're tired, and okay. No. If you come to church because of fear, or I make you do stuff because of threat, subtle threat, then I haven't done my job. If I make you come and play guitar for us in choir or this thing, and it's like, oh, if I don't go now, this pastor guy, you know, it's better you don't come. It's better you stay at home, because if you did that, not you, then it's useless to you and to God. So it's better that we have three people who want to be in the meeting, who want to worship God, and let's enjoy, than you have hundreds of people who don't care about God, don't care about anything. It'll be a waste of time. Why? Because worship has to be in spirit and in truth. All right. Now, to close, the other thing as well is we can look at worship. If we look at 2 Samuel chapter 7, verse 18. 2 Samuel chapter 7, verse 18. So we've looked at what worship is. We've looked at worshiping God. We've looked at the basis of worshiping God, spirit and in truth. We're now looking at how worship is expressed. We've said worship can be expressed through songs, through lifting up of hands, presenting our bodies as living sacrifices. 2 Samuel chapter 7, verse 18. It says, Then King David went in and sat before the Lord, and he said, "Who am I, O sovereign Lord? And what is my family that you have brought me this far?" This man was in worship of God. He just went and he sat before God, the Bible tells us. And as he sat before God, it was like, "Where do I even start, God? Who am I? Who am I?" Do you understand? David, with all his terrible mistakes, this was a guy who worshiped God from his heart. He sat down here and he said, "Hang on, me, king, what have I done to deserve this, God?" And he sat. Worship can be in the sense that you sit down by yourself, or you're by yourself, and you sit before God, and it's like, "God, thank you. What have I done to deserve this?" Amen. Now, we've looked at the church and worship, and what I've put here is corporate ethics. Is corporate, local church corporate ethics, number five, and we'll close. What do I mean by that? Now, what I mean by that is this, and this is something that, you know, I'm trying to like really focus on as well. So what I'm saying is that anytime that we come together as a local church like this, now I'm not saying we should be religious in that, you know, it's like, oh, you know, no. But what I'm saying is that anytime we gather like this, or we gather together, when it's time for us to express our worship to God in song, let us do it, one, undistracted. Let us do it focused. If anybody is coming during that time, leave them. Anybody that doesn't come before we start, let them just stroll in and find out whatever seat they need to find out. Do you understand? Because if on a weekly basis, is at particular times, 15, 20 minutes that we're focusing on God and we're expressing worship to God in song, then it's a time we should see with a lot of reverence, deep respect. Do you understand? It's not a time that we should just, even if you don't know the song, and you know, we're just, someone is there like in their pocket, sipping tea. I'm not saying you shouldn't sip tea, but come on, I think it's slightly disrespectful. I've done it before anyway. We can't see God. But if we're going to honor God and give him respect, it's just a short period of time. As we're expressing that thing, let anybody that wants to do whatever they want, let them do it. Let's focus. You know, let's be engaged in it. Because God has really done a lot for us as individuals. All right? Even if you don't know the song, look at the words of the song. Think about what God has done for you. And if you can't think of anything, the fact that you're saved. And from there, express it. All right? Let's rise up and pray.